Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it were already kindled. I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how great is my distress until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. For from now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once a shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord. Your word today with great power, Lord, and that we will not just hear it and know it, but we will obey it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, Charlie Engel, Ray Zahab, and Kevin Lynn know about endurance, more than most. For 111 days, they ran the equivalent of two marathons a day. Two marathons a day in order to cross the entire Sahara Desert on foot. They touched the waters of the Senegal, and then they made their way through various countries, Libya, Egypt, and they touched the waters of the Red Sea. Along the way, the trio faced blazing afternoons of over 100 degrees, jarring, freezing nights, sandstorms, tendinitis, violent sickness, and the usual aches, pains, and blisters. And the biggest challenge they faced can be summed up in one word: water. Finding it in its purest, cleanest form gets to be a chore while in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Crossing the desert like that, in any way, but like that, is an amazing accomplishment. But there are other feats of endurance in life, as you well know. Marathons, perhaps, that are not physically running, but are a part of our lives. We're going to be in this section of Hebrews for a couple weeks. And we notice that the writer says, run, therefore, run with endurance. Hupomone is the word, endurance. And you also notice how many times that word, along with the word discipline, be disciplined, and the discipline of the Lord, how important both of those are when it comes to running the race. So first of all, let's look at this event, the event itself. You know, it's a metaphor, right? It's a metaphor, the race, and it's something that the writer is saying, this is for Christians. Christians are in this. It's not a deal where, oh, well, hey, everybody in the world, we're all running this race and we all got to do the best we can. It's not that. It's for the people of God, the followers of Jesus. He is writing to a new group of Christians who are Hebrews, and he's saying, he uses this metaphor of the race. Only Christians are in it, and it is the Christian life. Get in the race, the event. Get in the race. You don't want to be just sitting around. The Christian life isn't really sitting around waiting to get to heaven or waiting to feel good or waiting, well, I'm here, you know, I'm available. Let's just see if God has something for me. It's not something that's passive. Get in the agon, it's called in Greek. Now, for the Greeks who had these games that were a lot like Olympic games, the races were called the agon. That's what they were called, the agon. Well, guess what English word comes from that? Put a Y on it. Agony. Agony. That's what these events were called. So, the writer is saying, join the agony. Join the agony. Imagine that on a bumper sticker. Follow Jesus. Join the agony. And the thing about this event, this agon, this race, is that it's a long one. How long? Till you die. Till you die. It's a long one. It's not a short 100-yard dash. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And it's a long one. And you're going to need some things to be able to get through this. And not everybody does. Jesus talks about the parable of the seeds and the farmer, right? And some of that seed falls on the ground, and he says, well, yeah, you know, it came up for a while. It looked good. It was good start, but then it was choked, right, by the weeds. And, you know, oh, yeah, I went to a seminar. I heard a good sermon. I went on a weekend retreat. I feel pretty good. I feel pretty close to the Lord. I feel pretty ready. Well, that's good. That's good. But the Christian life, the Christian race, the agon that the writer is talking about here, is more than going to church, more than a weekend retreat. It's a long one. It's a lifelong event. And it is a difficult one. It's a difficult one. Hupomone is needed. Endurance, discipline, self-sacrifice, self-denial. Paul tells Timothy, endure, there's our word again, endure hardness as a good soldier. Another metaphor, the soldier and the army, referring to the Christian life. I have fought the fight. There we have another metaphor, the fighter. I have fought the fight, Paul says, I have finished the course. The event is a long one, and it can be painful, and it can be hard. One well-known American evangelical said it this way: there ought to be a competitiveness to the Christian life. Insofar as you fight against weakness and indolence and laziness and ignorance and sin to be what God wants you to be. He goes on to say, first of all, come to Christ. Get off the fence. And when you're in it, man, run it. Run it. We don't need a whole lot of flaky Christians lying around the track. It just
muddies the waters and confuses the issue. A little harsh, maybe, for some of us, huh? But I think that's what the writer to the Hebrews is saying. That's the event. So how do you run it? How do you get this hupomeno? Where does this endurance come from? What's the secret? Well, we have the event, and now we have the encouragement. And you know the biblical rule that when you come to a therefore, you ask yourself, what is it there for? Right? That's a very simple biblical rule. And chapter 12 begins, therefore, seeing we have such a great cloud of witnesses, therefore. And so that tells us that the reason that we have this subject coming up about this event is because of what was said in chapter 11. And he says, we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. And there's no doubt that he's referring to the people mentioned in what we call the Hall of Fame chapter 11. Now, I know you've heard sermons and maybe even believe, and that's fine, you know. I think I've heard them, that somehow we're living our lives sort of in a stadium, and this stadium is completely filled with all these hundreds of thousands of Christians that have gone on before us, and they're sitting there somehow watching us, cheering us on, and you and I are running this race. And that preaches well. I don't think that's it. from what I read and study, the cloud of witnesses are the people, I believe, who have run the race. The people of chapter 11. We spoke about faith last week, and we spoke about it being that action word, that it's actually faithing. It's a verb. And all of these folks in the Hebrews chapter 11, they were called to action. And that action, we noted last week, many times, well, it involves doing something rather crazy, right? Build a boat, it's going to rain, everybody's going to die. And you say, what is rain? Never saw that before. Build a nursery, you're 90-something, but you're going to have a baby. It's action. And sometimes it's rather crazy stuff. And they had faith because of who God is. Because of who he is. And they believed in him. And they staked everything. They staked everything on his word. And Hebrews chapter 11, it lists them. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Samuel, David. And then at one part, it just says the prophets. The prophets. And then as we get near the end of the chapter, it doesn't even name them. They're just called those of whom the world was not worthy. Nobody knows who they are. God knows who they are. A lot of those. They faced crises after crises. They were laughed at. They were mocked. They were scorned. And chapter 11 says they faced the sword, fire, mocking, imprisonment, and some were sawn in half. Okay? Pretty graphic. On and on it goes. So how is this encouragement? The writer to Hebrews, what's he saying here? Saying that the life of faith wins. The life of faith wins. These people are not losers. These people were not defeated. These folks, this cloud of witnesses, look at them. Look at what they went through, and they're victorious. They won. If you haven't put your faith in Christ, if you're still on the fence for some reason, here's a history Our writer tells us, here is a history of people that went through great crisis, and it ended with great victory. The event, the agon, the agony, the encouragement, and thirdly, lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely. How do we get through this marathon? The encumbrances. I needed another E, sorry about that. But you know, it fits. The event, the encouragement, the encumbrances. It's pretty self-explanatory. If you're going to run, you got to shed every weight that you possibly can. You don't run with big shoes on and jeans and a heavy sweatshirt. You have to pare things down. And weight is a bad thing for runners. The story is told of the Olympic sprinter from Russia, Borzov. Borzov, I think, was in the 70s in the Olympics and won some medals. And he came to America after winning Olympic gold, and he lost some races. And they said to him, you know, what's going on here? Why are you losing? He says, well, I gained 3 pounds. Now, for most of us, that's not a crisis, right? For most of us, we feel good about that. But for running a race, it made a difference. 3 pounds. What could the weight be in Hebrews chapter 12? Well, we're not sure. Is it sexual immorality? Is it materialism? The contest of Hebrews and what he's talking about, it very well could be legalism and going back to Judaism and works and all of these things that they were doing before. It could very well be that. The weight could be maybe not one specific thing. It could be that which clings to you. That's what weighs you down. Maybe what encumbers you doesn't encumber me, right? Maybe what you struggle with, I don't struggle with, and what I struggle with, you don't. Could be that too. Different weights, different sins. It very well could be that. But to run this race, to get endurance, you can't be encumbered with sin. And the word there means shackled, girdled. What weighs down? What entangles you? Could also refer to distractions. We live in a day and in an age where distractions are everywhere. You know that. I mean, there's maybe now more than ever. It's so easy to get distracted, to get, you know, you're never going to get to your goal, right? You're never going to cross the finish line if you're looking around at something else. And we have distracted drivers. We have distracted walkers. They say there's a great problem in urban areas, I guess because of phones, you know, of people walking and they're distracted and they have accidents. Watch out for distractions. The late ruler of Russia, Nikita Khrushchev, told the story of a problem they were having in the Soviet Union. A lot of petty theft was going on in their factories. And so he decided to put guards outside the factories, and in one particular timber works factory, put guards out there, and you know, the guards knew these guys from the village that worked there, knew them, knew what they were like. The first evening after work, Peter Petrovic comes out with a wheelbarrow, and in that wheelbarrow is a big sack, you know, and it's bulging with stuff. The guard says, hey, wait a minute. What's going on? What do you got in the sack? He says, nah, just sawdust, just wood chips. Guard says to Petrovic, dump it out, I want to see it. dumps it out, sawdust, wood chips. So this happens for a week, okay? And all of a sudden the guard says, look, Petrovic, I know you. I know you're up to no good, and I want you to tell me what you're stealing from this place, and I promise you, you will not get in trouble. Petrovic looks at him and he says, we're wheelbarrows, my friend, wheelbarrows. That's the thing with distraction, right? Well, get in the event, be encouraged, and don't get encumbered. Amen.